Good evening. Welcome to The Buck Stops Here. I'm Vishnu Shom. On the program tonight, a new survey published by the renowned journal Lancet reinforces what many had believed for a long time, that air pollution is already having a serious impact for generations of Indians. The polluted air that millions breathe today is affecting their lifespans and quality of life. It's affecting all of us in this country. The Lancet report says pollution is India's second biggest health hazard. And how does this impact us? Well, in another study, which we'll also debate on this program, and it's important to stress that the reports are not linked to one another, a leading doctor tells us that there is evidence that Indian children show lower lung growth than Caucasian children. It's all the same in terms of the size of the lung till the age of about 8, after which there is a change. By the time our children are adults, the lung size in both Indian men and women is about 10% smaller. Is there a link to pollution? All this on a day in which it now turns out that the Delhi government has spent just 0.001% of its green fund in fighting pollution. Just 93 lakhs of 787 crores that it earned as environmental cess over the last 2 years.
Air pollution is the second highest risk factor in India with a direct link to life expectancy. This finding by the leading science journal Lancet is based on a comprehensive state-level estimate of India's disease burden and risk factors. In its report called Variations in Epidemiological Transition Across the States of India, Lancet looks at data from 1990 to 2016. Reaching the conclusion that child and maternal malnutrition were the leading health risks, followed by air pollution, if one looked at both men and women. But breaking down its data, Lancet says, for men, child and maternal malnutrition and dietary risks were more greater health risks than air pollution, though for women, air pollution was the second highest risk after child and maternal malnutrition. Rajasthan, Uttar Pradesh and Bihar face the highest disease burden due to air pollution. Though air pollution within homes has come down across the states on account of the decreasing use of solid fuels for cooking, significantly though, the report says, the burden attributable to ambient air pollution continues to pose substantial challenges because the current trajectory of emissions and dust from the power, industrial transport, and construction sectors is likely to contribute to continuing increase in exposure.
Delhi, for example, has 93% of its people exposed to significant outdoor pollution. Air pollution causes, commonly we think of air pollution causing acute problems like asthma and other respiratory conditions when the levels go very high.
By mapping the risks across the states, the report provides key data for specific health planning for each state. This report will perhaps help the state administrators to implement health strategies specific to the demands of their state. In New Delhi, Snigdha Basu, NDTV.
So the bottom line as far as that Lancet report is concerned is that air pollution is the second most significant health hazard that we face in this country. Joining us now to look at some aspects of this report, Dr. Soumya Swaminathan. She's the Deputy Director General of the World Health Organization. Thank you, ma'am, very much for joining us. You're also a contributor to that Lancet report. Ashutosh, the spokesperson of the Aam Aadmi Party. Anumita Roy Chaudhary, the Executive Director at CSE. She works extensively on air pollution. She's with us in our studio. And Dr. S.K. Chhabra, the head of the Department of Pulmonology at Primus Hospital, who actually wrote that report on the size of lungs of children, how they were changing over a period of time, some of that data and whether it can be compared and contrasted with the growth of children, the physical growth of children in the West is something we'll be looking at very closely indeed. Dr. Swaminathan, let me come to you first, ma'am. What does the Lancet report categorically state as far as air pollution is concerned? Is it an exaggeration if I was to say that generations of Indians are potentially going to live for fewer years because of the air pollution around them?
Yes, thank you, Vishnu. I think this report, for the first time, looks at a disaggregated state-level analysis of disease burden. And disease burden includes both deaths due to diseases as well as years of life lived with disability. So the first thing we see is that there's this, been this big shift between 1990 and 2016 from the burden being mainly due to communicable diseases and maternal and child and neonatal disorders in 1990, when 60-65% of the burden was due to those conditions. And today we find just the reverse, that 60% of the disease burden is caused by what we call the non-communicable diseases, which include cardiovascular diseases, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, and cancers. Now, looking at the risk factors which actually cause these diseases, because that's important to understand, this is where prevention can play an important role. Yep. The number one risk factor in the country today is malnutrition, as you mentioned. And except for six states, or 23 out of 29 states of India, malnutrition ranks as a number one risk factor. So this is obviously of great concern. But the number two risk factor overall is air pollution. And this was ranked number two for women and number three for men.
And so, ma'am, that
and
I just wanted to ask
try to
you,
understand
Dr.
why that might be so.
You know, I mean, are there any numbers to this? Because, I mean, there was one number which said that, what, 6% approximately, the outdoor air pollution is responsible for 6% of total diseases in India. Do we actually have an actual number on the total number of cases across the country?
Well, there are estimates of the number of deaths that occur due to air pollution, and we have to understand that these estimates are based on modeling, because a death cannot be directly linked to one risk factor alone. It's a combination of risk factors, but you can attribute the causation to these risk factors by doing mathematical analysis. So it's estimated that there are about 1.8 million deaths due to air pollution in India. And this is both because of ambient air pollution or outdoor air pollution as well as indoor air pollution. Because, of course, we have a double burden of air pollution. There are still large numbers of people using solid fuels. This has reduced rapidly over the last couple of years because of the Pradhan Mantri Ujwala scheme, which is providing LPG. But still, that is why the burden in women is higher in India than in men, because they are exposed to both outdoor and indoor air pollution.
And statistically, according to the study, women are more vulnerable than men when it comes to air pollution. That's one of the points. But I just want to go across at this stage to Dr. S.K. Chhabra. Dr. Chhabra, I read your report today. One of the things that you've attempted to do in that report is to make an algorithm which actually gives you an idea of comparing respiratory function, lung function in different parts of the country. You're looking for certain baseline statistics. Assuming that you have been able to do that, particularly in parts of North India, because one of the points you've mentioned is that you need to look at every area separately, what are some of the conclusions that you can draw? Is it correct that children exposed to air pollution, because we all are physically stunted in some form in terms of their lung development in North India?
Well, let me explain a few terms for the benefit of the audience. See, when we talk of lung size, then we express it in terms of vital capacity. That is the amount of air that one can breathe out from a position of maximum inhalation, completely breathing out. The other fact that I want to tell is that when we are born, then our lungs are not at their maximum size, and it's by the age of 6 to 8 years that the lungs reach their maximum number of units. After that, the lung size increases till about the age of 18 years. Now, what I have done is that I have developed models to predict lung function in healthy North Indian children, so that given a child of a particular age and height, we can say that this child is expected to have a lung vital capacity of this much, both for boys and girls. So when I compared our models with the ones available for the US Caucasian white population, then there was a stark difference. What I noticed was that till the age of 6 to 8 years, that is the age when the lungs would attain their maximum physical growth, we are at par, you know, American children and Indian children. After that, as the height increases, the lung growth occurs, but that occurs at different pace. So that by the age of 18 years, a child, a Caucasian white, has a vital capacity that is about 10% higher than an Indian of the same physical dimensions. So we are entering adult life at a disadvantage with 10% smaller lungs. So this could have repercussions later on for respiratory health and incidentally also for the cardiac disease that has been highlighted in the Lancet report.
Doctor, is this directly linked to air pollution, in your belief, the relatively smaller, the 10% smaller growth of lungs by the time a person becomes an adult? Is that linked directly to air pollution or are there other genetic factors?
Well, these are ethnic differences and one of the reasons could be the genetic factors are there. Besides that, the differences in physical dimensions between Caucasians and Indians could come in, but there could be a role for environmental factors like our childhood exposure to infections, nutrition, and of course the quality of air that we breathe. It's very difficult to separate out the effects of environment and their interaction with genetic factors. But if we look at similar studies, published data from elsewhere, then it has been shown that children who are growing in areas of poor air quality, by the time they become adults, they have stunted growth and smaller lungs. So considering the literature that is already available, one of the factors I believe that could be responsible for smaller lungs is that the air that we are breathing is not quite as healthy it should be.
Anupita, we often discuss odd even, we discuss sprinkling of water on the roads. And in as much as that is important, when you look at these two studies, and they're different studies, what is the conclusion that you can draw? Are millions of Indians losing out on years of their lives?
Absolutely. You know, the key messages from the study that we have got, just look at it, the same study is saying that Indians today are living longer, but the quality of life that they're living is deteriorating because of our illness and we are dying early. And it's just not acceptable. The data, because we are so obsessed with Delhi right now, Delhi smog, the data for Delhi that has come out from the Lancet study shows that we are losing out on that population dividend, that age group of 25 years to 60, that productive life years. Their contribution to the total death is about 41%. And even more worrying, the fact is
41% of people dying in Delhi that age group, age of 25 and 60.
Right. So that's 41% of the total.
High, right? That's the point you're making.
Absolutely, very high. And even more worrying is the fact I noticed that two diseases, ischemic heart disease and chronic respiratory disease, which are directly linked with air pollution, they have shot up in the rank. The chronic respiratory disease, which in 1990 was ranked 13, has become third. And ischemic heart disease has become top killer today. Now, therefore, just understand what it means for us who are living in this city. Yeah. And then, therefore, when we hear this denial that goes on today from the government, with what we have heard the environment ministry saying, that there is no space for denial anymore. And we have to accept this number. And for the first time, it's very good that we are now doing the disease statistics state-wise. Yeah. Now the state governments can actually set a health goal.
You know, Ashutosh, would you like to react to all of this? Because, you know, I mean, the sense that a lot of pessimists would have, a lot of people would have, is that you really can't do very much. You say the center needs to do more, Punjab, Haryana, everybody else needs to do more. But now that you've got statistics about the fact that people are going to not live perhaps as long as they should have, the growth of lungs is stunted, is that going to trigger some sort of reaction? Because people are dying earlier. The numbers are now there. It's not vague belief. It's all there. It's all factual now. Two separate studies, both of them credible. The Lancet study, huge in its size. I mean, what do you have to say as a representative of this government?
See, Vishnu, the buck should stop at the political establishment because the policy should flow from them. But unfortunately, in this country, the environment and ecology and pollution is not on top of the agenda. And there is a very, very serious issue about it. As you're talking about the Delhi, look at today. The entire political establishment is blaming one to another. Whereas, whether it is Delhi, whether it is Bhiwadi, whether it is Gurgaon, whether it is Faridabad, Ghaziabad, Banaras, Agra, Kanpur, almost all these cities, they have the similar, a little bit, a less or more kind of pollution. So, just to put a blame on Delhi is not a nice idea in that sense. It's a national crisis, and we should try to find a national solution. But unfortunately, since elections are not fought on the issues of environment, elections are not fought on the issues of the climate change, so people are not, political system does not get into the emergency mode. If there has been any identity politics, then everybody will be rushing, will try to find a solution here and there. But that is the sad situation in not only
India. That's a very honest answer. That's a very honest answer coming from somebody who's part of the Aam Aadmi Party. You know, I mean, would you therefore accept the inaction of the state government? You've collected 787 crores in green funds over the last 2 years. You've spent only 93 lakhs, and you say you don't have money for buses. You've now ordered buses. Why couldn't you have used this money to order buses or anything else to deal with pollution earlier?
See, it will be very naive on my part that being a representative government, a democratically elected government, if something happens and we say, no, we are not responsible. Yes, the buck stops with us. But there is a very peculiar situation of administration in Delhi. You know better than me that about these buses, the land is not with Aam Aadmi Party. Land, law and public order is not with Aam Aadmi Party. These buses needs a parking spot, a depot. Unfortunately, we have been trying to find some land from the Lieutenant Governor and the DDA that these many buses we want, and we need parking spots for them, but we are not getting it. Very recently, we just got for the 2,000 buses. So we are trying our level, but still, we cannot disown our responsibility, and that's a fact.
Anumita, you had a point? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen. Lot of effort has been made already to identify land. From EPCA has intervened to identify land which can accommodate today between 1,600 to 2,000 buses immediately. And yet we have not purchased a single bus over the last 3 years. There had been problems initially, but at this moment there is land to bring more buses. We have to hurry up, because at this rate at which it's going, today we are not even been able to implement our emergency plan with regard to reducing personal vehicles on the road, just because we have not been able to put in place a proper public transport system. And yeah, that has to be the priority today.
Yeah. Dr. Swaminathan, I want to come back to you just to look at the Lancet report once again. Does the data in the report indicate that it's essentially North India which is badly affected and you know, people are potentially dying as a result of it? Is that established, that this is essentially a North India phenomena, air pollution?
There's definitely a gradient, Vishnu. North Indian states are definitely worse affected than the South Indian states. And if you look at the states along the Indo-Gangetic belt, you'll find that they are the worst affected. And this is because of a number of different reasons. It's also a combination of indoor and outdoor air pollution. So what we call the high epidemiological transition states, which are in the south, like Kerala, Tamil Nadu, and Goa, they have more or less very little indoor air pollution left now, because very little solid fuel is used. Whereas in states like UP, Bihar, Orissa, Rajasthan, there's still a lot of solid fuel being used as well. So the combination of both of these is really quite deadly, and the impact on women is very much higher. And as Anumita pointed out, the incidence of chronic lung diseases has gone up significantly in the last 25 years. The ICMR had also funded a study that looked at the impact of indoor air pollution on birth weight. Mm-hmm. And that study showed that the birth weight of babies born to women who were using solid fuel and were exposed to a lot of indoor air pollution was significantly lower. And there was a clear correlation between the exposure within the house and the reduction in birth weight. So I think we are starting off life also at a disadvantage by being born smaller. And as was pointed out, the growth of lungs is definitely affected by exposure to air pollution. And then as we get into adult age, the prevalence of chronic lung diseases and, of course, pneumonias in the young and as well as in the elderly are all associated with higher exposure to air pollution.
All right. Well, it's a
apart from all of that, of course,
yes.
The PM2.5
yes.
particles that go into the deepest part of the lung, they incite a lot of inflammation, and that's believed to cause cardiovascular diseases. There are also now links being made between exposure to air pollution and diabetes, perhaps cancer as well. So we're still finding out the number of diseases that could actually be affected by the PM2.5 and other pollutants that are present in polluted air.
Dr. Chhabra, one last question to you. Do you, as a doctor, as somebody who deals with respiratory illness, do you actually sometimes feel helpless? Because no matter how many patients you treat, with numbers like what we are seeing, the numbers will keep going up. Construction in this country isn't going to slow down. We don't have a solution for this stubble burning. There are environmental factors that go against us, for example, in the National Capital Region in any case. There are so many problems of dust, vehicle pollution. In our lifetimes, is it something that we can expect that this is all going to go down? Or are you, as a doctor, going to spend the rest of your career dealing with a situation you feel is getting worse? Dr. Chhabra, go ahead. All right, one huge long question. Unfortunately, no answer because we lost the line over there. But let me put that question to Dr. Swaminathan. Ma'am, would you like to take that? Is it helpless?
No, it's not helpless, Vishnu. I think that we know what needs to be done. Other countries have done it before us. Other cities have cleaned up their air. And I think it's a question of putting in place many of these actions and being very serious about it, being strict about it. And really, because what happens is that every year this happens during the winter months. There's a lot of attention paid to this. And then perhaps there isn't enough follow-up done during the rest of the year. We also need to remind ourselves that this is not a Delhi problem, really, even though right now we're focused on Delhi. There's pollution in most of our major cities and even the smaller towns across India is fairly serious. And so this is something that the whole country needs to work on.
Sure.
And not just a very limited area around Delhi.
Well, I'd like to thank all of you very much for joining us today. And we're going to leave you with one political development today. Chief Minister Arvind Kejriwal met the Haryana Chief Minister, Mr. Khattar, today, flying through smoggy skies. And to do so, he went to Chandigarh. He was perhaps missing the Punjab Chief Minister, who sits just 500 meters away from the location where they met. Any big decisions? Well, proposals to run interstate buses on CNG, a handful of other decisions. But is there anything significant? Was there any one major takeaway? Judge for yourselves.
They say politics is dirty, and for Arvind Kejriwal, Delhi's dirty air forced him to make a trip to meet his Haryana counterpart. So what concrete pollution solutions were agreed upon? Both CMs refused to answer any questions, just making statements on generics like more interstate CNG buses.
CNG ke vehicles kaise introduce kiye ja sakte us pe charcha ki. Unhone hame sujhav diye kuch stretches hain jaise Delhi Gurgaon ke ek hi rasta hai to agar usko Dwarka bypass ko expedite kiya ja sake, Badarpur ashram ke stretch ko wo kiya ja sake.
Kisanon ko bhi aur sarkari agencies ko bhi khareedne ke liye subsidy bhi di hai aur जिसके परिणाम स्वरूप दो वर्ष से हमारा ये कार्यक्रम चल रहा है. इस बार पराली जलाने की घटनाएं भी हरियाणा में बहुत कम हो रही हैं, चाहे वो ट्रैफिक पोल्यूशन की बात हो, चाहे व्हीकल्स के पुराने व्हीकल्स की रजिस्ट्रेशन को बंद करने की बात हो, सीएनजी पर व्हीकल चलाने की बात हो, या जो हमारी बसें हैं उनका भी पॉल्यूशन जो चलता है, इंटरस्टेट बसें जो चलती हैं वो सीएनजी पर चले.
दिस इज द हरियाणा सीएम्स हाउस एंड दिस इज वेयर अरविंद केजरीवाल एंड हरियाणा सीएम एमएल खट्टर आर मीटिंग. But on this same road, 500 meters in that direction, is Captain Amrinder Singh's house, the Punjab CM's house. However, despite the fact that Arvind Kejriwal has come from Delhi, is only 500 meters away, the Punjab CM and the Delhi CM will not be meeting for the sake of pollution. The meeting needed most is that of the Punjab CM and Delhi CM. Since straw burning from Punjab is the main worry for Delhi,
It is at least four times more than that of Haryana. But with Punjab CM refusing to meet Kejriwal and instead sending the Congress's youth wing to protest his arrival at the airport, the Delhi CM's trip to the Haryana CM's house was a bit like clutching at straws. And for those who think pollution is a Delhi problem, taking off on the same flight as that of Delhi's CM, this is the haze the AAP leader saw in Delhi. Blue skies on the way to Chandigarh revealed what clean air looks like.
We have included the stations for landing fields.
But the same haze even as we entered Chandigarh, reflecting once again how this is not a Delhi problem, this is an India problem. In Chandigarh, Amitoth Singh for NDTV.
Well, it's time now for us to take a short break. We'll be back tomorrow, 10 p.m., once again on The Buck Stops Here Tomorrow. Stay tuned.